Welcome, everyone, to Music Junkies, a podcast about people sharing extraordinary stories about how music has impacted their lives.
Welcome, everyone, to Music Junkies. I'm your host, Annette Smith, and our guest today is an artist that encourages his fans to think outside the box. I love that you said that. Your music is described as a bridge between old and new. Please welcome independent artist Frankie to the show. Welcome, Frankie.
Thank you kindly. How you been?
I've been amazing. So before we get started and I get to find out all your dirty little secrets, I would love to know how your experience was putting your playlist together for me today.
You know, it was good. It was good. I forget I have so many songs out sometimes, like, because I get so focused on like what's right now, what's the thing. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I wrote that like 3 years ago. It's hard for me to go back sometimes. If I listen past 2020, I'm like, oh God, why did I think this was a good idea?
You see big transition from like your early music to your now music?
I definitely feel the growth where it was like, I hear the earlier stuff and I said it had all the ambition in the world, but it had zero of the experience.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So not your voice changing, just more on your lyrical changing and your feeling and your heart going into the music?
Ooh, I would say it's kind of the opposite in the sense that I think my voice has gotten much better.
Yeah.
The experience has gone there, but but the heart for the music, it's kind of like, you need a, how do I describe it? When, you know, when somebody's in a race and then they get like winded out and then they got to catch their second wind or whatnot. It's kind of, music is sort of like that. Like you do it, burnout, and then do it, burnout. So I'd say the passion, I have an album I'm working on right now and it's almost done. And I'm hoping I grasped it, you know, because it is I think it is really the secret. It's the secret sauce to something that's great for sure.
Good. I love that. So we're going to start with your first song. Are you ready?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. Obviously, that is your song called A Train. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the kind of the story behind that song. Where did it come from? What does it remind you of?
Oh, so that one's about being from Brooklyn and having to go on the A Train every day to go to your work. That's supposed to be your side hustle, but it's your main hustle until people consider you legit enough in music where you can like make your friends a little jealous.
So you rode the A Train all the time?
All the time. It's the worst train. It is from on Nostrand Avenue. It is honestly, the area isn't really that bad, but it's with that area comes a certain grind.
Yeah.
Of you're just so tunnel vision, and it's almost like a representation of just like New York as a whole is like you're in this grind tunnel vision state going into Manhattan, and it's almost like representative of what people are trying to do. They're trying to get closer to like the circle, in a way, the heat circle of NYC. And the closer you get to that epicenter of Manhattan, it's almost like the more pressure you feel.
What's the craziest thing you've seen on the A Train?
Oh my God. I had one guy that one of my first weeks in New York, first of all, the craziest weeks I had in New York City were probably the first weeks I had because I moved right after COVID.
Oh.
So I moved, I think 2021. And one of the first weeks, this guy just comes up to me and he's just like, he starts telling me about every disease he has. and tries to shake my hand after. Like, I don't want to be rude, but you just listed all, it's like someone sneezing their hand and just, and he was listing off these horrible diseases, but I was kind of interested, so I was like, keep on with your story, like how did we get here, how did we get to this point. So he goes on and rants for like half an hour about how he got these like terrible diseases, and so that was a crazy interaction. I had one guy, he threatened to stab me and kill my whole family. Other than that, he was a very great guy. He's a very nice guy. other than that, fantastic dude. But that was a little much. What I loved about that was, so I got off the train completely traumatized over this thing. And then my friend called me and I'm like, hey, Jimmy, I don't know if I can really like talk right now. I'm like, I'm kind of traumatized about it. And he's just like, anyways, I sent you a trade in fantasy baseball. Would you like to, what are you thinking about this? I'm like, I don't know, just give me a couple minutes.
What brought you to New York City?
What brought me to New York City? I was born here. My family wanted to raise me in the suburbs, so we went out to the suburbs of New York. And after a while, and then I just felt like, you know, just NYC was just in my blood. So I had the chance to either go to here or LA, and you know, starve in either place to make it. And I just felt like the New York City. I always thought that, you know, when you see something in yourself that like the rest of the world can't see. At that time, they didn't know that I was Frankie. How could they know until I make the thing, right? So I just felt in my heart that I was never going to be the thing I was known for unless I endured like the winter and had the hard times to talk about in my music. So I was like, I got to suffer a little bit here. Not too much, because here's the thing about suffering. It's I think that there is a point. I think that no suffering is bad. And I also think too much is really bad. I think there's this certain threshold where you find a way to have great mental health. And now you also have a story to tell, or for other people that are outside the art world, they have fuel. They have fuel in the fire for a better tomorrow. But for artists, that fuel is basically your artistic creativity coming from just seeing things in life.
Yeah, I agree. It's your inspiration. It's what are you going to write about, right?
Exactly. If I was in LA, my songs would, I don't know if they would be, you can feel the grind in this new album that's coming out. Where like people are going to hear this new album and they're going to be like, yeah, this kid's been through the ringer. This is, yeah.
I love it. All right, next song.
This is When Life Is Good, this song.
Going to the Moon. Did you say that's when life was good, this song?
That was when life was pretty easy. Okay. That was during COVID, so it was still pretty hard, but it wasn't like I was kind of clinging on to, you know, being able to like kind of be a kid still. I don't feel that way now. I think I'm an adult now. I think it's safe to say.
what was the most irritating thing that you had to do during COVID that you were just like, this is so fucking ridiculous. I can't believe we have to do this.
Probably my rent increase.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a COVID price and then it spiked in 2022.
A COVID price like for rent?
Yeah. 2021 was a sweet spot for New York. And then, but I didn't realize that you had to get a rent stabilized at that time because I was just becoming like an adult and whatnot. And, so I didn't get one. And so I put a lot, so I was like, okay, so I got this, I got a good deal during COVID for this this place, and then I it just spiked up the next year like a lot. So that was one probably bad thing from the COVID time. And I'm trying to think,
like, how did you
finding a job too was kind of hard. But what's up?
What about with music? Like, what did you find? Did you find that it was a lot easier to kind of get your name out there? Because now you're forced to stay inside, right? Being more creative.
Oh, that was a pretty tough part. I gained a lot of weight because I was kind of like, I didn't know what to do in my life. And I thought, like, I was still on the free internship game. Like, I thought it was a good idea. I thought it was going to bring me closer to my goals there. Which was a bad idea. Yeah. And it would have been good if I became like, I think, like an engineer, or if I was more on the producer side than I am. I think for my sake though, what I do, you have to accumulate enough funds.
Yeah.
And keep your costs low, and then use the rest of it and just really risk it with marketing. You got to do that when you're young, because when you get older, life gets just a lot more complicated. But I'd say the hardest parts about that were probably trying to do TikTok all the time and see people go, oh, I got 500,000 followers, super easy. And then you're like struggling to get like one viral video. So that one was tough. That was tough. But
they probably bought their followers, though, let's be honest.
Maybe. There are some good creators out there. I did actually... I was actually at the this YouTube thing yesterday at Lincoln Center, and I saw some creators, and I actually had that thought for a second. I was like, who bumps and who's like who doesn't here? And I looked at some of them, and I knew some of them. I was like, no, that guy's super talented. So some of them they feel the grind for sure, and some of them are just hot and they just get it immediately.
Yeah,
because they're just so beautiful. They're like. The world's like, okay, this is your talent.
That's right. So who inspired you? Like, when did you start singing? Early on? Were you super young?
Yeah, I was probably about, kind of thing. I can remember, like, probably starting at, like, 7. Okay. Like, I think I was like 7 or 8, and I didn't know whether I could sing or not. So I sang for like my best friend at the time. And
remember what song you sang?
Yeah, I was actually starring, dude, you know what's so crazy? My album is gonna be, it's like a parallel between me and Van Gogh. And it's my first album ever. And the first song I ever learned was Starry Night by Don McLean.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's almost a weird guess. It's a very full circle moment 20 years later.
That's really cool. I love that.
Yeah. But around 7, I would say. My mom is an even better singer than I am. I'd say for one of, at her peak, was one of the best in the world. So I got lucky, I would say, with that for sure.
That's good. So lots of music being played when you were younger, growing up, musical home.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting. My dad is not like a music guy. My dad has amazing tastes and what would work and what doesn't. And he actually has great advice for me a lot of times, but he can't sing a tune to save his life. He played a little piano, but he got very frustrated with it. I think my mom is less business acumen than my dad, and she was more expressive and extremely, extremely gifted as a singer, and she's a very good piano player. So, and then I also had like a great aunt who was an Italian opera singer back in the day. So I would definitely say I came from my mom's side, probably more than my dad's side.
I love it. So what kind of music did your parents listen to when you were growing up?
When I was growing up, they listened to, I can remember a lot of, like, all of it was like when we went on road trips and they put the CD into the back in the day, you probably remember this.
I do.
You would have to, you put a CD on the top of the, they had the CD drive at the top and you'd put it in and they would have the packs of the CDs in the car and you guys would choose as a family. Is it Motown again? Is it Michael McDonald this time? Or is it the Chicago, the musical soundtrack?
Those were big selection on your car drives.
Oh yeah, and then my dad also Josh Groban, and my dad would make like joke, like he would. Oh my god! Now I'm like realizing how similar I am to my dad because with my girlfriend, I will start singing a song and I'll change the lyrics to whatever's happening at that moment, and I'm realizing my dad used to do that in the car. But it was probably the thing that probably had the biggest impact in terms of that stuff was probably the Elton John, Stevie Wonder, Motown.
Nice. Sure. I love it. All right. Next song. I like your titles.
Thank you.
Strange times.
The strange time. Tell me a little bit about where that song come from. Was it, you know, a strange time in your life?
Oh, it was a strange time.
Let's hear it.
I was starting a new relationship. I felt like all my friends were moving away. I felt like everybody was kind of becoming an adult. And I was kind of just trying to cling on to, it was the first time I was genuinely getting in shape. So I was like, I fluctuate so much, but 25, when I first moved to Brooklyn, I was in very good shape. Not very good shape. I was skinny. Then but no muscle. Then I think I kind of got depressed in the winter and I ate a lot. And then I started working out obsessively around that time. So, I was starting to make money, good money too. So it was like all these different things were kind of accumulating both good and bad in my life, I would say. And I try to, I guess, incorporate both elements of like, I don't really know what to make of this.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about dating in New York. How are the women in New York? Aggressive? Do you have to be fairly aggressive to get a date?
I think that, you know, what's interesting. It's like, there might be for some people, it might work for them to be like aggressive with it. But I've always noticed this. I was like, the ones that I ended up being in a relationship with always sort of came to me. Like, like in their mind, it was like, oh, he's so like number one on the draft board for me that. And so with my current girlfriend, she actually, like, I met her at a cafe down the street from me, and she gave me her number on a cute, like, post-it note, like, one day when I was, when she was giving me food, and that was, like, that was it. And so I can't really remember what it was like, actually. I've been dating her for over, I think, like, a year now.
Okay.
But I think it probably is a little more aggressive in New York than other places. I would definitely think so. We're kind of known for just like, we got to make things happen.
Yeah.
We're kind of sure. Known for manifesting our lives for sure.
That's right. Do you remember your very first concert you ever went to?
Oh, great question. What was my first concert? I think it was, it couldn't have been that late. I'm trying to think if I went to one when I was like young. The one that I like, the first one I remember is like Arcade Fire when I was like 15 or 16.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a phase with them. I like.
Do you go to a lot of shows in New York?
Tons of music. Honestly, I think the last one I went to was Charlie Berg. I went to a concert previously. Oh. Catering, I do catering, right? And catering, it's like, I can't disclose the actual of these things, but you see a lot of private concerts.
Yeah.
So I've seen some pretty big ones there. Non-private concerts, I think the last one I saw was this guy by the name of Charlie Berg at what's that place called? The place that owns it's not Webster, it's the other one, but it's this big I think it's Rockwood Music Venue.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was a great show. He was basically creating a song on stage and then playing it for people. So dude is insanely talented.
Who are some people that you would love to collaborate with?
Oh my gosh. Of young up and coming, I would definitely like to collaborate with Jake for sure. One where it would be like my dream, probably Elton John. I don't know if Sir Elton John would take kindly to my music. I don't know if we would be buds. Yeah. But him or Stevie Wonder probably would be top of the list. But if it was like new, up and coming, the kids love it, probably Jake or Charlie Puth for sure.
Yeah. So what is it you like about Stevie Wonder and Elton John?
Stevie Wonder, I think he kind of had like a daredevil thing to him where it's almost like being a musician was like a sixth sense to him because he didn't have eyesight. I just find it like ironic that one of the greatest artists of all time, he had to do what like the best artists do, which is like he probably had to see the landscape in his mind without like seeing the reality of the world,
yeah,
kind of thing. So I think that's something that makes him special is definitely he sees the world almost better than somebody who can see in a strange way.
That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah. And Elton John, I think what makes him amazing is just, oh my God, he's such a goddamn good piano player. He's just so good. And those songs, he's kind of similar to, I'm not trying to rank myself among the greats here in any way, shape or form, but my bud Topher, who's, you'll see, he did Strange Times and you'll see him in a lot of my videos and whatnot. He's an incredible guitar player and a very good piano player. And, Elton John had a writing partner, Bernie Taupin. So we're kind of like writing partners. So I guess what I would say is like, you kind of see a successful partnership of writers. I think that's an attractive thing about Elton John.
Yeah, for sure. So if I was blind and you had to describe the color yellow to me, how would you do that?
That is an amazing question. How would I would say probably warm summer day.
Oh, I love it. Good. I like it. That is good.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I like that you're creative that way. Lots of people are like, I have no idea.
Oh no, I was scrambling in my mind. I was like, I gotta give her a good answer.
You're hiding it well. All right, next song. So 24-hour heartbreak. This has got to be a good one. Just the title.
Stand
or a really good love story.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely more heartbreak than 23-hour heartbreak. But it's 24-hour heartbreak. Yeah, that was kind of a pivotal. If you like, I don't know, if you like chronologically like look at where I was when I like writing all these songs, I think that 24-hour heartbreak was like, it was kind of the turning point in oh, he's not just making songs to be cute and to be like, oh, I do this as a hobby. He's like, he's in it to win it. And I think that's one of my favorite songs I did, and it's because it totally got like it encapsulates winter at its like worst, kind of, and in a way that it's like a turning point in the hero's journey.
Yeah.
He's learned, he's different, he's evolved, he's out of the cocoon.
So is it about a heartbreak? Like, tell me about your worst heartbreak so far.
So at that one, it was just like, my worst heartbreak? Oh.
Yeah.
I really don't have them. To tell you the truth, I know it's a little disappointing because I'm writing songs from a perspective of horrible heartbreak. I don't think I've ever seriously dated somebody who I thought was like a bad person. So I've always been very amicable. I've always been very peace creating. And I've always left on good terms. I would say that. When I downloaded like Hinge and all those things, and
okay.
I said to myself, I was like, oh, the progression of people. I was like, what are they going to, like, I was thinking to myself, because I thought, here was the thing. I was writing that song because I thought I was going to do a futuristic album of what life was like in like the year 2063, like 40 years from now. And what happened? So I start writing this EP for that, and I wanted to make it like a bigger thing, but I ran out of time, which is like a big thing in music, is running out of time. And with 24 Hour Heartbreak, it was supposed to be kind of about how relationships, what relationships were going to be like in the future, which was just like, they're going to last for 24 hours and then you're going to go on to the next person and it's all going to be meaningless and it's all going to be to avoid pain.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And that was kind of
it. Sounds like you've always been the one to end the relationship then.
Oh, no. I think my first relationship, I think we're both extremely immature. And I think that it was definitely a learning experience.
Yeah. What were you like growing up in high school?
Growing up in high school, weird.
Yeah.
Weird. I have ADHD, so I've always needed my ADHD medicine, but I think my dose was twice what it is now because for health concerns, I wanted to lower back. I'm always very conscious about my heart and being able to have longevity in my life because I want to live forever. We all do. It's never going to happen to us. Father Time will beat everybody except for the two of us.
And that's right. I'm excited about that.
Where they're going to invent the new thing and we're going to get on it. But that's after right. The trial run where somebody grew a third leg from it, we're going to get it when it's actually correct and settled. In high school, I was strange because I didn't have the social skills. I was friends with everybody, but I wasn't like invited to the parties. And there was this one very cool kid that was at our school that would invite me to those. And then I would always be like super happy about it. And I tried to like conceal how excited I was and how rare it was for me that. And he perceived me as much cooler than I perceived myself at the time. I was awkward. I was very frail. I don't think I could bench press that much. I was very... I would say in ways I was smarter than now, but in other ways, I didn't have it, if that makes any sense. And it should make sense. I think you should build it over time. I didn't go through what these kids do now. I don't know what they go through. And you see a lot of, I think you see a lot of people my age that are scared of aging and they go on social media and they try to prolong their youth by through this idea that they understand it the same way that the younger kids do. And to tell you the truth, I grew up in a completely different world and I'm okay with where I am. I think that probably was a simpler time. And the kids in my high school were very nice. Probably one of the most competitive public schools out there. it ran itself like a private school in the sense that these kids were all coming from these families that wanted to make sure their kid like really like stayed in the game. And so they, these kids were like, one of them went on to be an Olympic athlete. Probably about 20 of them, 20 out of 120 in a graduating class probably went on to Ivy League schools. Probably 80 out of 120 went on to prestigious schools. Zero teenage pregnancies, and everybody graduated and went on to college. So it was a different experience. I remember the grade above us not being very nice, but everybody in my grade was extremely nice.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's nice to hear. I always am curious how people grew, like how they were in high school, or because usually that high school is kind of like where
our shapes for sure
is formed, right? Like what kind of music did you listen to in high school?
Oh my gosh. I was doing classical music when I was in high school, but I was learning how to play classical music and I hated it. I absolutely hated it in every sense. And I barely practiced because, I mean, I practiced, but I didn't practice the way that somebody who reaps the benefits like practices. I was kind of doing it to like, just to, I guess, impress my parents and make them happy, which I think a lot of kids do. But after those sessions, I would go down to my friend's basement and we'd bump Lil Wayne was huge at the time. And I remember how big the Carter Four album was to kids in my school. It was just huge. when he got out of that, I had friends that had like counters on their, like time counters on their phone of the exact moment Lil Wayne was getting out of prison and that the Carter Four was being released. It was like the biggest deal to like, I don't think people really remember how big he was at that time. He was to us probably like, it was like Billie Eilish, but Billie Eilish every year for 5 or 6 years. So it was, his run was insane. And so him, by a little bit of Rick Ross, a little bit of Drake on that side. I was a big fan of Bruno Mars, but my friends all thought he was kind of a dork. And I didn't get that. They loved Tyler, the Creator. Tyler, the Creator was, I think it was after Wolf. Yeah, Wolf came out, I think, my junior year of high school. So my friends were big into him. I was just trying to listen to whatever my friends listened to. Yeah. But I wanted to
hey, that's fair. Lots of people do, right?
Yeah. I was also, Eminem, Love the Way You Lie. So the Recovery came out. I listened to Love the Way You Lie like 700 times. Yeah.
I've did that on Eminem's song before. A couple of I didn't just listening back and forth. I think it was My Name Is. I think I listened to that. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I was driving from Red Deer to Calgary. And that's the only song that I could play to keep awake. I don't know what it was, and it's not something that I listen to all the time, but I'm like, okay, this is,
oh, you kind of burnt it out, like
it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I gotta get to where I'm going. I love it. Song,
it's a good song.
We're just lovers on two different paths.
So different place. So this one has obviously a little bit more get right into it, let's dance right away. That's how I feel when I listen to it anyways.
Yeah, dude, I forgot I wrote that song. That was, what the hell was going on in my life at that one? Oh, I think I was like meeting someone and it could work out. It had all the chances to work out, but these little things in life were just like getting in the way.
Do you have any pet peeves, things that drive you crazy?
Pet peeves?
Yeah.
Pretty laid. I'm pretty laid back. I would say time. With my girlfriend, I think right now, let me think. What is it? I need a bigger bed. That's one thing. I'm going off a twin bed right now. I'm about to move into Manhattan. And I think the first thing I'm going to do now that I'm going to get the space, fucking queen size bed. because I cannot stand us at night. Like like we'll be sleeping and like her head's on my arm and next thing you know my arm falls asleep and we need more space. So definitely twin beds is one of my pet peeves. I would say another one of my pet peeves is probably time, but I've had to get a little more lenient on how I evaluate people when it comes to my time. And the reason why is because I've started to become very late to things as my life's gone infinitely harder. I'm like, oh shit, I'm sounding like such a hypocrite right now.
So you are like a stickler with time or like the opposite?
I used to be. I'm not as much anymore.
And now you're not so much anymore.
But you can kind of feel it in the air whether or not somebody respects you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody respects you. So I guess one of those things is like, you know, if you feel you're not getting the respect that if you're not getting the output for your input, I would say you've got to find a way to do that. And that's definitely these little subconscious ways of disrespecting me. Those are probably the things that send me over the moon, probably more than anything.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people have actually even said that to me. My, you know, somebody could go and smash my car and I'd be totally fine with it. It wouldn't affect me. But then it's like, there is like a little tiny thing. I couldn't even say what it was. And I'd be at a fucking 12, right? And I'm like, no, this is not how it's going. Our friendship is now on the line. And they're like, I should have just smashed your car. You should have, because that would have been better. But it is all that underlining. Because I'm very direct.
We had rather this car not get smashed.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But when I think about, you know, there's so much ways to address things very easily. So I'm very direct. I'm very like, if something's bothering me, I'm not going to like sweep it under the rug. Let's go deal with it. That's just the type of person I have always been. Right. So that underlying stuff, I think that needs to be dealt with like immediately. Like for me, I like that's my closure in a sense. It's like, no, we're not going to have any type of relationship or friendship until we can kind of deal with the underlying issue that. You know, because people are scared. I look at our world that we live in right now.
Yeah.
It's psychotic that somebody can go and write something and then like not think that they shouldn't be challenged in what they have wrote. Right. So, hey, whatever I want to go say, but you, oh my God, you saying something back to me. That stuff drives me crazy.
The hardest thing with the comments too. Is it's very difficult to decipher whether or not you're like, oh, I'm getting criticism, or if I'm like, or if it's just a kid trying to mess around with you.
Yeah.
Like you'll never know. And I one time got one comment where it was just like, my life was going really well, but this one kid like comments like on one of my YouTube shorts going like, this beat is trash. And I'm just thinking of Des Eagles 79, like as I'm on a date with my girlfriend getting pizza and she's like, why are you eating this pizza so quick? I'm like, this is a fucking kid. Like, yeah. And I was just like, in the back of my mind, I couldn't get rid of it for like three hours. And then I thought to myself after that, I think now I go, oh, I see what I kind of get it now. I think in their minds, like in their world, like if you can just make AI impressions of the president of the United States going to Six Flags together, nothing is to be taken seriously to them anymore.
Because
they've got content overload. So everybody messes around and everybody doesn't take things seriously. So in a way it's like, I should not take it as serious.
Because
then it makes my life a lot
easier. I agree. The only thing I have to say on top of that, though, is that if you cannot say it to somebody's face, you should not say it. Right?
Yeah.
You should have the courage enough to be able to reach out to that person, artist, whatever it is. Right? I don't really get crazy comments on mine. So, and if they did, I just block them. That's my fucking solution. I don't
need
to
feel like if you go too long without a hate comment, you're like, oh, damn it. Am I making enough like impact?
I don't get any of that kind of stuff. I'm more like talking about like this kind of old school where people, you know, you would hear something or I'm just like, hey, come talk to me. Let's have a conversation. Not, I'm going to write something on your Facebook page because I'm a coward and I can't speak. Yeah. That's how I look at it.
Right? What I will say on that though, because like I used to watch a lot of like Milk Boy's videos and like their comment section, like their community is very strong.
Yeah.
And with the community, like these people will give ruthless criticism of them and their podcasts. But those guys are at the top of the game when it comes to content making. And like what I've noticed is like after getting ruthless criticism, the next time they will do an amazing job. So I feel like sometimes it does push you. Sometimes the hate comments can push you, but only if they're constructive.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. Constructive criticism is always good. It's your delivery that matters as well, for sure. All right, next song.
Yeah, next song.
There we go.
Oh, my God.
So this song's called Time.
Yeah.
I love it. It's very pretty. So do you play piano as well or?
Oh, I can't play. I can't. I learned a little from music theory, but yeah, anytime you hear a piano, it's either somebody very talented, that's not me, or it's something else. It's usually, I can't play piano, unfortunately.
Yeah. So what does that song remind you of?
So this song, at the time, I was cute as a button, 23-year-old, was like new to the real world. I had just graduated college and I was like, what am I going to do? Right. And so I'm like graduating college and it's like, it was before TikTok was like a thing. I mean, TikTok was just starting up. I'm 27 now. Time had seemed to be going faster and life didn't seem to be getting like a little duller and it seemed to be getting infinitely harder. And so that song was kind of how I used to see it as a kid. And it was like childlike nostalgia, which is, I would say it's a theme of my stuff that's about to come out. It's a theme for sure. And that's probably the beginning of me painting that kind of topic, probably, which I will go on in my career to probably paint like 7 or 8 times. But that one, yeah.
So what is coming up for you now, Frankie? Like, are you touring? You said that you're talking about an album. Do you want to talk a little bit about your album and what you got going on and how we can kind of stalk you and find you on all social media platforms?
Yeah, please stalk me. I do not feel like I'm getting as many stalkers as I deserve, and it's a little annoying. I swear to God, if you guys don't know my address by now, like, am I even doing this correctly? I'll give you guys a little bit about the album. The album is, I think it's going to be part of a trilogy, and I want to see, basically, this album is basically I think the trilogy is, I can't explain the songs on it, but I can explain it this way. It's going to be 3 figures from either history or whatever I devise that we know. And my parallel to each one of those 3 figures and what they went through compared to the experiences of my life. I want it to be a trilogy, and I kind of wanted to encapsulate the transformation of a person. So, the first one is The Descent into Madness. And that's it's kind of the hopeful optimist who's kind of a pretender in music, trying to make every little micro calculation so he can make sure that he gets monetized on YouTube or some shit like that at the beginning. And how at the end of it kind of transitions into something more interesting and gets like, it's basically, it's about becoming the mad scientist. I think the next one, so that one would be Van Gogh. And then I don't know, the next two, I can't reveal yet, but I want the other ones kind of to be the rise. And then after the rise, the third one to kind of be the rebirth.
Nice. I like that.
So it's kind of a hero's journey kind of thing. And it's kind of a full circle where by the end, you kind of feel this journey from he's good to he's one of the greats of all time, but at what cost?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking with these figures, what I kind of want to do is I want to do kind of like a Christian Bale, like body transformation with them.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So if the second guy is like an athlete, I think I have to get a six pack in order to play the role of the guy who's making an album about that person.
Yeah, that's a good theory. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a little bit of a nut job, but in a good way.
No, I like it. It's good. It's interesting, right? I like that you are creating, you know, not just this music, but also, you know, this identity that is going with the music, which is really cool as well.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I'm trying to make I feel like in today's attention economy, it is super, super hard to gauge people's focus for an extremely long amount of time. It's currency valuable, more valuable than gold. And I want to do something where it's like, there's so many times where I'm like, yo, this deserved to go viral. There are so many times where I'm like, I can't believe how unrecognized it gets. And this, I don't want to be the same whiny complaining person once it's actually working. And it won't be, because then it's working and I'm happy. And that part of my life is, you know, the grind set of that is gone. But like, what I will say about it is that I think that I want to make something where it's ironclad gonna work, where I'm like, there is no way in hell that I don't get what I want, because I've made something that that people go, I must have this in my life.
Yeah.
It's special to me. And I think that as an artist, that's always something that you're searching for. And it might be the mirage of water in a vacant desert. It's very possible, but it doesn't mean that you can give up on the search for that moment that you wow everybody, because I think that's the only thing that artists cling to in order to do the maddening thing that they do in the first place.
Yeah. No, I love that. So where can we stalk you? What's your address? What's your phone number? Your socials?
Absolutely. I was going to start with a social security number. I thought that was a very appropriate
credit card number, whatever
you don't also want that. I was going to say, you should also get the banking number, the route number.
Makes sense. 401k, whatever you're going
to
give up.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I've given enough to the industry. Allow me to have my 401k at least. you can stalk me on, I just got the blue check mark on Instagram. So, and I have it on Spotify. So I'd say those two probably are the ones that make me look pretty. But I would say that, give the TikTok some love if you can. I would say for Instagram, it's frankie.n.y. For Spotify, it's just Frankie, but write in some like Frankie and going to the moon, because Frankie Valli keeps showing up on the fucking search bar for some God knows reason. That man doesn't have enough money. Come on. All right. Like 10,000 monthly listeners, and I still can't find Frankie. I'm not saying I dislike Spotify. I love you guys. You guys are pushing me more than any of the others. If anything, you guys are my favorite. But Franki still doesn't get the job done, apparently. So write down one of my songs right next to it. You could find it, but my link tree will have everything on Instagram. So go to the link thing. You can get everything from there.
Perfect. I don't have this anymore, but when I first started my podcast years ago, I typed in Music Junkies and there was another Music Junkies on there, and they had been like not even doing anything since like June 2017. And I'm like, take these fuckers off here, because many types of music junkies.
I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, I'm always
crazy,
like,
crazy.
I know that the second I get any PR person involved, they're going to be like, yeah, stop saying these things. They're like the gods of Spotify. They're not going to like you a lot, but to be fair, it's like sometimes
I'm, speak your mind.
At some points I'm like, come on. I paid the dues. Just when I put Frankie, just show Frankie.
That's right. And there's nothing wrong with asking for that, by the way, from any person.
Yeah, right. I'll write an email sometimes.
Yeah. Right. All right. We're on your last song. You ready? Here we go. The song's called Monster.
Monster. Gotta face the monster. Oh, that's one of my. That was the first one I got on Spotify, actually.
Nice.
I released on Spotify. Yeah. Oh my god, dude, I've grown so much on this.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I can hear. You know what? You know what's interesting? More than the tone of voice, more so than the selection of the sound, you can hear the confidence of an artist at a certain point. And what they're making, and it's like now when I go up to the mic, the amount of self-belief is ridiculous, where it's not even this guy's manifesting anything, he truly believes he's living in a realm of higher ability. Whereas with those, I had during the Monster, man, I was like, it was so one day you will see, and so like you can feel in it, like but now I feel it's like you got to go to that place to get to this one, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Before I let you go today, Frankie, you want to leave me with some words of wisdom?
Get in early with everything. Always the earlier, the better. I think now is an incredible time in human history that's very unprecedented. And I think if you're a youngster out there, 17 or 18, the fact that there's the fact that there are these kids that are just making an insane amount of money out there doing something, you guys have more time in the world than any of us to figure out what the next big thing is and to just run with it and see where it brings you in 3 years. And in 3 years, you'll still be incredibly young. So fail tremendously. There's never been this opportunity before.
Yeah. That's great words of wisdom. I love that. That's really good words of wisdom. Right. You know, 20 years ago, we probably didn't think that all this stuff that was going on with AI and all this stuff that's kind of being created right now, we never would have thought cars would be driving themselves, all of this kind of thing. We thought like maybe 2050, not 2020.
Right? Oh yeah. No, that's what I was. And now Tesla, you can fall asleep at the wheel and you're going to be like, wow, I'm in my driveway.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good teacher for sure. Well, I appreciate you, Frankie. Thank you for joining us today on Music Junkies. Please like, subscribe, follow this guy. I'm going to leave all his socials on everything that we did, and we continue to promote you. So I appreciate you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for listening today. Hope you enjoyed the show. New episodes out every Monday. Please share with a friend and subscribe because you want to. And like me because you like me. Leave a comment so we can connect. And if you have a great playlist and you want to share, I'd love to have you on the show. Please reach out to me on Instagram @TheMusicJunkiesPodcast.